Morning.
Sorry, I think I've just woken someone up. Are you having a good day so far? Right, I'll try not to ruin it. That's great. Through August, we've been looking at different Psalms. The Psalms, the book of Psalms, is the hymn book of the Hebrew Bible. And so in week one, we were looking at Psalms of success when things go well, then Psalms of lament when they go less well. Last week, we were thinking about Psalms of anger and resentment, what we do with those feelings as a prayer to God. And today, we're thinking about a prayer of forgiveness. Now, is there anyone here, I'm going to ask for a moment of honesty, anyone who has already today had to say sorry to anyone? Okay, there's a few hands going up there, and those are just the honest ones. So, I don't know about you, I've learned such a lot from my wife, who is in the congregation today, so I'm going to be careful. But I thought I was pretty good at saying sorry. I mean, at the beginning of our marriage, I'd say, I'm sorry that you're so unreasonable. It turned out that didn't completely work. And then I thought, no, I'd be sorry that, I mean, we were both at fault. It was about 70-30. That it turns out, isn't a proper apology. No, when you say, I am sorry, it's my fault. And this morning we're looking at Psalm 32, which is a psalm about saying sorry to God. I mean, we could say sorry to a person. We could ask forgiveness of a person. Sometimes we need to learn to forgive God because we think he's messed up our lives. What do we do with those feelings? Or sometimes we need to come to God and say, I am so sorry. Now, David says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. So King David was Israel's greatest ever king. And what he did with his whole heart. When he worshipped God, it was wholeheartedly. When he went into battle, it was with his whole heart. And when he sinned, he did it also with his whole heart. I mean, he knew how to sin big time. Most of us will not have done all the things he did wrong, including committing adultery and then murdering the other bloke. And he knew God was on his case, and he was a broken man. And for a time, he didn't do anything about it. He tried to be quiet and get away with it. And then God broke him and changed it. So, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. He came to know the secret of forgiveness. There's all the difference in the world between whose sins are covered and when you're covering your sins. Now, I remember as a child doing something that I knew was my parents were going to be really mad with me. And I hid the evidence. Anyone else ever done this, hiding the evidence? So that's not what we're talking about, whose sins are covered. That's a DIY job when we're trying to get away with it. Instead, what David discovers is when God has covered over, he's chosen to hide his sins from him. And that's why it says, in whose spirit is no deceit. We're not pretending. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess, if we own up about it, God is faithful and just. He's faithful because he's promised he'll do it, and he's just. He's able to do it because of what God did in Jesus, in his life, death, and resurrection. He covered sins when we confess. So in whose spirit there's no deceit. The first account in the Bible about sin, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve and a talking snake, and they do the wrong thing. And it begins with them covering up. First of all, they blame someone else, and then they hide from God. Once I did try sewing fig leaves together. And that's what they did to cover over their nakedness. And can I say, it really doesn't work very well. Even in a warm climate, I think it's a limited strategy for success, for hiding. But what God did is he covered them with skins of an animal. In other words, a death happened to cover over sin. And I believe it's still a death happened because of Jesus. In his death, our sins are covered. Forgiveness is about walking free. And I'd love you to hold on to that image. Forgiveness, it's not a bad thing of, oh dear, I better confess. It's about experiencing life in all its fullness. And David remembers, when I kept silent, when I was hiding, my bones wasted away. Inside, I felt awful. I don't know if you've had a bad relationship with someone, and whatever you're doing, you have that cloud hanging over you. And that's how David felt. Day and night, your hand was heavy on me. And then he says, I've had enough of this. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up. Instead, I said, I will confess my transgressions and the great outcome, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Not just my sin, but the guilt of it, the weight of it. And so he then says, actually, I want to give this advice to everyone. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. And then he says at the end, you are my hiding place. Rather than hiding from God, he's able to hide in God. You are my hiding place, and you'll protect me. He says, I'll instruct you. This is God looking in on a life. I'll instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I'll counsel you with my eye upon you. Do you know that feeling when you know someone really well and you just see a little glance from their eye and think, oh, yeah, I know what you're thinking. It happens with couples who know each other well. The alternative, he says, do not be like the horse or mule. Now, if a horse or mule doesn't know the right way to go, it's got a bit which yanks its mouth painfully to the side and makes it change direction. God is saying here, I'll instruct you. Why don't you let it just be with my eye? I'm looking, let's go that direction. And if not, you'll be like a horse or mule, pulled, and through pain, you'll be forced into a new direction. So I suggest you don't do it, says God. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Well, I just want to communicate with all my heart, forgiveness is a great thing. Maybe you have lived a good life and you don't feel a particular need to be forgiven. And if that's the case, I'm so happy for you. But that has not been my journey of faith. I have so terribly messed up in life at times. I've been desperate to know other people and Almighty God don't hate me, that they forgive me. And I've come into a realization of how good it is to know the forgiveness of God. And I just want to leave you with a picture, because in my last house, we had big chimneys and fireplaces that were blocked up. Do you know what I mean? Like there's hardboard in front of it. And one day in my old house, I heard this flapping behind the hardboard. I thought, I know what's happened. Forgiveness is a story with a happy ending. Here's an example of it. That's what was in the chimney. This pigeon had fallen down the chimney and was stuck. It was quite clear to me it would never get out. And brave ornithologist as I am, I opened up the chimney breast. It wasn't bricked in, praise the Lord. It was just hardboard. And I thought, this is a significant moment in the life of this pigeon. So I got a couple of photos. It was a shocking day for the pigeon, even more for me. My moustache fell off after this. And I set it free. It was a picture of freedom, of liberation, and I think of forgiveness. And you know, that daft pigeon came to love me. That's how I think of it. Because it built a nest on the window ledge of the room in which I'd redeemed it. I'd set it free. There it is, looking pretty happy. And then, sometime later, no, yes, this is a no moment. There were two eggs. And then there's something fluffy. And then there's these two, don't you think they look like dodos? And they grew, but were still staring at me, saying, you're our savior. You're the one who made it possible for us to be alive. And they grew up, and finally they flew the nest. Forgiveness is a story with a happy ending. The new life was not possible without me doing for the bird what it could not do for itself. It needed someone else to come from the outside and set it free. And that's what Jesus did for me. He set me free. He released me from the things that held me in my life. Forgiveness is a story with a happy ending. I encourage you, are you holding someone captive because you're not forgiving them? Jesus said, forgive us our sins to the same extent that we forgive others. I mean, I don't know about you, I want all my sins forgiven. I don't want any of them outstanding. So I encourage you to forgive everyone, everything. There's another verse in the Psalm, Psalm 124. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. In the Middle East, they have twigs. They put lime on it. A little bird will land on it, and it's glued there. Or they spread nets. And the psalmist says, you know, it feels like I was trapped, and now I'm free. I'd love everyone here to know what that feels like, to be set free because you forgive others, but you've also received the forgiveness of God. Blessed, this is what David says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count. It's not saying you haven't sinned. It's not denial. It's saying the Lord's not counting it against them because there's no deceit. You've chosen a better way. And my prayer for these children who were baptized and are currently looking really happy again, praise the Lord. God, would you help all three of them to grow up to know what forgiveness feels like, to live in a place of freedom. They set others free. They model that beautiful relationship with God that says, I'm okay because Jesus died for me. So, Father, I pray that you'll help each one of us to respond to your call for freedom by letting go of unforgiveness and coming to you to say, Lord, I need your help. This is more than I can deal with. Would you set this captive free? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord. You're full of love and you're full of forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.